sure you know, Charlotte, Project Literacy is a wonderful cause. I myself was shocked to find out that there are 60 million people in this country who don't know how to read or write. Well, I'm sorry you don't think it's important enough to come up with $5,000. That's all right, Charlotte, just forget it. You should save your money and get some of that hair on your back taken off.
Poor Suzanne, don't you think you're getting a little rough?
Really, for somebody who's supposed to be collecting for charity, you've been insulting people all morning.
Well, I'm sorry, but you have to insult and shame these people. They're old rich, and that's the only way to get anything out of them.
Suzanne, you don't have to explain the old rich to us. We've been in a few homes. We don't spend all our time at the bowling alley.
I know that, Mary Jo. I'm just explaining some of the subtle differences that you might not pick up on unless, of course, you were born to that sort of thing.
Well, for someone who was born to it, you certainly have been getting the shaft all morning.
Charlie, I cannot believe that you have eaten almost that entire jar of peanut butter.
Well, I'm sorry, Suzanne. I happen to be eating for two.
Well, I happen to be eating for myself, and I wanted that.
Right then, have at it. You know, Suzanne, since you're having so much trouble collecting money for your benefit, I might be able to help you out.
You? How?
Well, I know a few people think this is a very good cause.
Charlene, we're talking major donations here.
I mean, they wouldn't be able to actually attend or anything, you know. They're out of state.
Oh, out of state? You mean like Poplar Bluff and the Ozarks?
I was thinking more of Arkansas.
Arkansas! Oh, well, when you say so, Arkansas, that's different. Who do you know in Arkansas that's going to give me $5,000?
I didn't say they would. I said that I would ask. You know, I used to work at the state capitol in Little Rock. I got to know some people. I could call Mr. Sam.
Mr. Sam. He certainly sounds rich.
Well, yeah, he is. Sam Walton happens to be the richest man in America.
Charlene, where do you get this stuff? You think the richest man in America is going to live in Arkansas?
Suzanne, where have you been? Everybody knows that Sam Walton is the richest man in America and lives in Arkansas.
Is he richer than Donald Trump?
Are you kidding? Donald Trump couldn't even be Sam Walton's shoeshine boy. But like a lot of rich people, Trump just has a great PR guy whose job is made especially easy by people like you who think that nobody could be that rich or smart or stylish unless they live in Los Angeles or New York.
I don't believe this. How much is he worth?
About $9 billion. I know because I read it in Fortune 500 in my dentist office. And the person next closest to him on the list is some, I don't know, little old tiny DuPont who's so far away from Mr. Sam Walton's neighborhood, he might as well be living in a trailer park.
Oh, right. Charlene's good friends with this Sam Walton's, and I've just never heard about it.
Well, you know, Charlene is a modest person. She doesn't like to brag. I mean, I knew about it.
Just let me know if you want me to call him. I'll call Fred Smith, too.
As the founder of Federal Express, also bubbling right under the top Fortune 500, he and Charlene go way back.
And if you want, I guess I could call Wynn, too.
As in Rockefeller? No explanation necessary.
Okay, fine. Sounds good to me. Why don't you call them all? And as long as you're at it, you may as well call everybody you know on hee-haw, too. They make a lot of money, and then if you want, you could even get me a keynote speaker.
Well, I happen to have the perfect person, Bill Clinton.
Who's Bill Clinton?
The governor of Arkansas. Charlene knows him.
Your benefit is for literacy, right? Well, that is his specialty. He is known as the education governor. I will call him at the mansion tonight.
All right, the mansion. I don't know what you all are up to, but you're up to something because you're just messing with me.
What y'all talking about?
Don't anybody say anything. I'll tell her. Julia, who do you think the richest man in America is?
The richest man in America is Sam Walton. He's a friend of Charlene's.
You all rehearsed this ahead of time, didn't you? I suppose you also know that there's a Rockefeller who lives in Arkansas.
Oh, yes, Wynn Rockefeller. He's the son of Winthrop. His father used to be governor. Bill Clinton's governor now. They're all friends of Charlene's.
Sure. Charlene is friends with governors and Rockefellers, and somehow nobody thought to even tell me about it.
He just assumed you knew. You know, Charlene doesn't go around talking all the time about her rich and powerful friends. She likes for people to like her just for her.
You all are doing this to me on purpose. I don't know why, but for some reason y'all are trying to drive me crazy, like that movie, Gas Stove.
Suzanne, it's gaslight.
That's right, Suzanne. We're trying to give you the old gas stove treatment.
Well, I'd just be putting this stuff in the storeroom.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, Anthony. Who's the richest man in America?
Oh, that's easy. Sam Walton. How's he getting along, Charlene?
Just fine, Anthony. Thank you so much for asking.
Excuse me, I'm Albert Calloway, and I must say, from the description given me, you must be Miss Sugarbaker.
Yes, I am. Was there something you wanted?
Yes. I have a proposition to discuss with you, but it's of a rather delicate nature. Is it all right?
Oh, sure, I guess.
You see, I work for a philanthropic organization here in Atlanta called Make a Dream Come True.
Oh, I've seen y'all on the news. You do things for kids with terminal illnesses.
That's right. If a child has a lifelong dream about something, then we try to make that something happen. But this week we got a rather unusual request from a gentleman here in Atlanta. We had to turn him down because, number one, we don't deal with adults, and number two, we don't take romantic requests.
What does it have to do with me?
Well, you must understand, I'm only passing on this information in an unofficial capacity, and you can do with it whatever you want.
Okay.
It seems this gentleman, who has a terminal illness, some sort of rare lymphoma. Anyway, he was a classmate of yours in high school. I've met him and found him to be very pleasant, unassuming and sincere. I don't know what your romantic situation is, nor is it any of my business. But I will tell you that his special request and last dying wish is to spend one night with you.
Okay. This is another joke, right? I don't know how it ties in with all the Arkansas stuff, but for some reason you all are trying to drive me insane or run me out of the business or something.
Oh, Susie, don't be ridiculous. We didn't know anything about this.
That is so romantic and sad. Well, hasn't he ever been married?
No, according to him, he's always been in love with Miss Sugarbaker.
Well, at least that part's believable. So what's this guy's name?
Donald Stillman?
Donald Stillman. No, I don't remember anybody in high school by that name.
Well, I must admit, he looks older than you.
Yes, well, almost everyone does. Of course, now, I couldn't spend the night with him because that's absurd, but I would be happy to give him an autographed picture.
You have to excuse me. I seem to have left the piece of paper with Mr. Stillman's address and phone number out in the car.
Oh, that's a good idea. You can just leave the address with me and I'll mail the picture to him.
Suzanne, that's incredible to be some guy's last dime request. Of course, I guess that happens to you all the time with all the men you date out at the nursing home.
This whole thing sounds a little odd. Nevertheless, if this person is actually dying, Suzanne, I don't think you can just send him an autographed picture.
Yeah, you're right. I guess I should. I could give him one of those ribbons from the old beauty pageant, you know? I mean, he'd probably like that.
That isn't what I meant.
But what do you suggest I do, Julia? Spend the night with him?
Suzanne, nobody thinks you should spend the night.
Donald Stillman does.
Charlene, please. I'm just saying that if somebody I went to high school with was now dying and his last wish was to spend some time with me, I think I would call him up at least and meet him for a cup of coffee.
Here we are. I hope you won't feel any obligation to meet Mr. Stillman if you don't want to. I just wanted to pass on the information.
Well, thank you, Mr. Calloway.
Oh, please, call me Albert.
All right, you can call me Suzanne.
Suzanne? I thought your name was Julia.
Oh, no, I'm Suzanne. Julia's my sister. Is it my sister? Julia Sugarbaker that Mr. Stillman wants to spend the night with?
Oh, dear, I'm afraid so. I didn't realize there were two of you. I've made a terrible mistake.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. It's no problem. It can be corrected. Julia, I think this is for you.
Well, I finally found that other annual. This one's from our senior year. Even if Donald didn't belong to any organizations, he should still have a photo in the class composite. Look, here's his name. Here it is, Donald Stillman.
No photo available?
I cannot believe this. We've been through three annuals and not one single photograph.
What is the matter with this guy? Does he not show up on film?
Ask him about that tonight.
Julia, are you sure you want to have dinner with this man? I mean, for all we know, he's a mass murderer.
Mary Jo, His name is in the annual, which means I went to school with him. I'm driving my own car. We're meeting at the most expensive restaurant in Atlanta. I would hardly call that dangerous.
Still, I'm not real crazy about it.
Well, if I may add my two cents, neither am I.
That is why Charlene and Suzanne and Anthony and I have decided to have dinner there, too.
Mary Jo, that's positively ridiculous.
I will not hear an argument about it. We have made up our minds. You don't know this man. This is an odd request. And this way, Anthony will be there in case you need him. What does Reese say about all this?
Reese is in Memphis taking a deposition.
Did you tell him that you're having dinner with a dying man who wants to spend the night with you?
Yes, I did.
And what did he say?
He said we're all dying.
Well, Julia, you may be interested to know that I just ran into Trish Weddington at the beauty shop. You know, even though she's just a year behind you at school, she has a lot more lines, you know, right through here. Anyway, she says that she thinks she remembers a man by the name of Donald Stillman, and he wore big, thick glasses and was a complete nerd.
Oh, then it's probably just as well he's dying.
You're very sarcastic. I'm just trying to warn you. She also told me to tell you that Janie Bartlett has gotten so huge they even did liposuction on her elbows. And Nell the Catcherside's husband has become a complete homosexual.
Well, thank you, Suzanne. And please thank Trish when you see her. Now I'm going upstairs to look for something to wear tonight, unless, of course, one of y'all wants to come along and give me instructions.
Well, wait a minute now. We're talking about a condemned man here who's looking for the biggest night of his life. Now, I had some experience with this in prison. I think you should go with your industrial colors and make it big and ugly.
Oh, Suzanne, by the way, Governor Clinton has agreed to speak at your benefit.
He's agreed to be our speaker?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the mayor's office called, too, because they heard the governor was coming and they want to know more about the arrangements. And there's some checks on the desk for you, too.
Checks?
Yeah, you know, from Fred Smith and everybody.
Oh, I can't believe this. Did you see what they sent?
Yes, impressive.
Well, y'all, I can't wait to show you. I was at the doctor today, had my first sonogram. And while they were taking the picture, the baby actually started sucking its thumb.
Isn't that adorable?
Charlene, did you see all these checks your friend sent?
Yeah, isn't that nice? And look, Mary Jo, up there, see? That's the baby's head, isn't that cute?
Oh, definitely a looker.
Did you know that the mayor's office called? They want to know all about this Bill Clinton thing.
Well, you better get on the phone to Arkansas. Where's Julia?
Oh, she's upstairs trying to decide what to wear tonight.
Well, I'm going
to
go upstairs and show her this, too.
Okay, you just do that. You run on up there and have a good time. Don't worry. I'll cover the phones for you. She's a wonderful girl, isn't she?
Well, I don't care what anyone says about the New South. It's just at that time we went to Memphis. I mean, anytime you put one black man and three well-heeled white women together, it's just going to look strange, and that's all there is to it.
Well, what's keeping Julia?
Well, I wonder what's keeping Dominic.
This whole thing is so ridiculous. I mean, for all we know, he killed her in the parking lot.
I didn't mean to say that you're ridiculous, Charlene.
I think I'm going to have a clam.
Oh, that sounds good. I think I'll have whatever you're having. And, you know, then maybe later we could call up some more of your friends in Arkansas.
Oh, hey, you all look over there. I bet that's him.
How do you know?
Well, because he just came in alone and they're seating him.
I bet that is him.
Ooh, Trish was right. Ooh, we're talking major nerd alert here. Sam, would you please keep it down? What difference does it make if he's a nerd? This is not the dating game.
All right, Charlie, I'm sorry. You're not mad at me, are you?
No. Just don't let it happen again.
Uh-oh, here goes Julia.
Look at that. Can you believe she wore that dress?
Certainly not very smart.
Why? Just because she's not going to spend the night with a man who's dying doesn't mean she shouldn't give him a nice send-off.
I think Charlie makes a very good point.
Donald?
Yes?
I'm Julia Sugarbaker.
I know. Actually, I rehearsed all these opening lines, but you just look so damn beautiful. I can't say anything except you just look so damn beautiful.
I'm sorry. I thought when I saw you, I would recognize you. But I don't. You're going to have to tell me what you were like in high school.
Quite frankly, I don't remember me in high school. I just remember you.
You've probably changed a lot.
No. In fact, my head looks exactly the same, but my body only weighed about 80 pounds.
Your picture wasn't in any of the yearbooks.
I know. I never had it made because I always thought I looked like an unborn bird. You, on the other hand, had the uncanny knack of being a cross between Jennifer Jones and Veronica out of the Archie comics. You remember her, the cool, finely chiseled brunette?
Yes, I do. I also remember Jughead and Betty.
I always remember the way you dressed, like that black Spanish shawl you had, and the way you'd come roaring into the parking lot in that old Aston Martin.
That was my grandfather's.
And how you were the only person in Speech 101 to come out for Hubert Humphrey.
You were in that class, too?
No, I wanted to be, but public speaking makes me throw up.
Well, Donald, what do you do for a living?
I'm an astronomer.
What does an astronomer do?
Well, basically, I measure the distance between stars and planets.
That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, well, we have to keep track of who's heading for what. I guess you could call me an air traffic controller with a lot of time on his hands. That is, until recently.
Donald?
Before you say anything, I just want to thank you, Julia, for coming here tonight. I didn't give any details on the phone because I wanted to say this in person. You see, all my life, I've been afraid of things, and since I found out I'm going to die, I'm not afraid of anything. It's crazy how it just frees you to do all the things you wanted to do your whole life. And it just so happens that you are on the top of my list. You always have been. I hope that thing about spending the night together didn't offend you. That would have been my Mount Everest, but quite frankly, I'm happy right here, just hanging on the side of the cliff with you. Destroy the mood, but back at the restaurant, there was a man and three women who kept staring at us, and now they're looking in the window.
I apologize for that. That's my sister and three overzealous friends who thought you might be some kind of a nut.
That's a pretty accurate description.
Did you go to the prom?
Yes, I did. I went with Loretta Garr. You remember her?
Was she a large girl, always had a toothpick in her mouth?
Yeah. You know, I thought she'd take that toothpick out for the prom, but it didn't happen.
You are very funny. I'm having an awfully good time.
Well, this is just ridiculous. I mean, it's almost 11 o'clock. Julia obviously has just lost her mind.
She looked to me like she was having a pretty good time.
It just doesn't make any sense. Maybe he hypnotized her. You know, he's got those weird eyes.
He does not. He just has thick glasses.
It smells like garlic in here. Who had garlic for dinner?
You did.
I can't believe you know so much literature and didn't join the Shakespeare Club. Now, that was a nice club.
Here's one of my favorite quotes. When he shall die, take him... cut him out in little stars, and he will make the face of heaven so fine that all the world will be in love with night. Pay no worship to the garish sun. That's a good one, isn't it?
It's perfect, especially for a man who measures the distance between stars. You should make that your epitaph. Meeting you tonight, I thought I could handle everything perfectly. See, I have somebody in my life. But to be perfectly honest, I find you very attractive. And I think I could be getting into a little trouble here.
That is the nicest thing anybody ever said to me.
I'd like us to be friends.
No. I just want to remember this one night.
But you understand. I can't. Yeah.
I know.
Then again, there's more than one way to spend the night together.
Yeah. And I am interested. Every one of them.
Julia, this is your sister. Anthony and Charlene and Mary Jo and I are right outside. We're tired, we're stuffed, our feet hurt. We want to go home. Now, if you're in there being either bored to death or held prisoner by this nerd maniac, then I suggest you turn on all the lights right now. Otherwise, we're just going to be on our way and assume that you're a cheap little one-night tart available to every Tom, Dick, and Harry with a head cold. Okay, now. We're watching the window. We'll be waiting for your signal. Goodbye.